Good evening, everyone. This is another episode of Husbo and Sweetie. I'm Husbo.
I'm Sweetie.
And shall we do... We're going to sweep you away to a land of mystery and magic.
Yes. The famous series.
Yes.
About magic.
Yeah. Star Wars.
I guess it's kind of magic, too. Yeah,
I guess they use magic. No, we're talking about a far superior, shall I say, series?
Well.
I like Star Wars, but what we're talking about is...
Harry Potter series.
Mm-hmm. So recently, for Christmas, Sweetie here received the entire Blu-ray collection of the Harry Potter...
Thanks to Hasbro.
Yes. Harry Potter series. So we watched them all pretty much nightly.
Yeah.
Back to back. And now we're going to talk about all the films in the series.
Yeah, but before that, we want to mention how sorry we are to hear the sad news about Alan Rickman.
Very sad, yes.
The greatest Snape, indeed. I would say.
The only Snape, really.
Yeah, like even, I don't know, even if somebody makes a remake of the whole thing, no one would beat it. He's the best Snape ever.
According to an acquaintance of mine, J.K. Rowling had the part of Snape cast as Rickman in her head so that he would have been her first choice for the films. And somebody else had the part, but then they did something else, and so he swooped in. But I don't know if that's true, but it certainly fits, doesn't it? All right, well... We should go into this telling you that there will be spoilers for all the films. So if you haven't seen them all, then you have no excuse. Because there's going to be 7, 8 of these?
Who hasn't?
Right.
Well, some people.
So I think what we're going to do here, our formula is going to be, we'll summarize the story, go into how things like the acting and the special effects aged, and then how they compare to the books. And then I have some additional notes as well from each film, if you want to discuss those.
Yes.
So shall we launch right into Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone?
The Philosopher's Stone, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
So the story opens with Dumbledore, a mysterious wizard, and Professor McGonagall leaving a baby at the doorstep of...
Dursleys.
The Dursleys, which is who are played by...
got the cast list right here.
Shaw. And Richard Griffiths, great actors who play the part of the Dursleys, who are a terrible family. Well, and then these two horrible people raise this little boy, Harry, who something terrible has happened to. We're not sure what it is yet, but something mysterious is afoot.
Yes.
So we see him treated badly and over his growing up, but these magical things happen around him. And he receives an invitation to attend a wizarding school where he goes
called and meets... Hogwarts.
Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
Mm.
He meets his friends, Hermione Granger and Ronald Weasley. They have these adventures. He learns all about magic and then...
Learns a little bit about what happened in his past.
Right.
But only a little bit.
Which is that his parents were murdered by a mysterious wizard named Voldemort. Not mysterious to anyone else, but only to him.
Yes, and people are so afraid of calling him by his real name, so many people call him, you know who.
Right. Or he who must not be named, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
at the end... That doesn't appear until the second book.
Oh.
So you know who in this one.
I thought they said he who must not be named in the movie. No?
Really?
I don't know.
Okay, anyways...
Besides that, and that's beside the point. So he goes to the school. They find out there's a mysterious thing happening at the school, which turns out to be that dark wizard has returned and is trying to ostensibly kill Harry and regain his mortality. But we'll get into that at some other point. Should we summarize it now? I mean, I think if we summarize the entire story, we're going to run out of time.
It's fine.
Okay so you guys pretty much know what happened. If you didn't, then you shouldn't be listening to this. So first of all, that's the story summary. Then let's get into the... what did you think of the special effects and the acting, the casting?
Well, I was a little bit afraid that it could have been... Like, if I watch it now, maybe it looks really bad. Like, I thought it was amazing back then, right. But maybe it looks really old. But it wasn't the case.
Indeed.
To my surprise.
Mm.
And I enjoyed every single moment of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. I agree. I feel like I was really worried that, especially with CG in that age, when you get into like the 2000s and the aughts, some of it was pretty shameful at the time. Maybe some, we thought it was okay. 2001, yeah. But that stuff ages very poorly, more than other forms of animation will. Like, you can still make something stop motion and it still looks good. But they did something really smart, which was all the scenes where they had to CG an actor, they were moving so quickly that you couldn't see how fake it was. And some people have a big problem with that, but I think it's almost cartoonish in a way. It's very extreme.
Like Quidditch?
Yeah, there's three instances. One of them is the Quidditch where he gets thrown around by the broom. Another one is Neville.
Falling down.
Yeah, from the broom. And then, oh, there's two more. There's one with him at the end when he's getting the keys. That's CG'd. His body is CG'd on there too.
Oh, the Petrificus Totalus. That scene?
No, when he's getting the keys on the broomstick.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Wow, this is super inside. I hope people know it. And then the other one is the, on the troll.
Yeah.
But I think overall everything looks really good, and we'll get to this, but the direction is such that everything looks good because it's not overly shot, if that makes sense. Okay. And what was the other one? How does it compare to the book? You'll know this better since it's been a while since I read the book.
No. Well, I think they did a very good balance of like, of course you can't be, 100% true to the book because it's going to take like 10 hours.
It's too damn long.
Yes. And I think they cut parts that could have been left out and perfectly. Mm. Of course, they must have talked with J.K. Rowling. Because some stuff were going to be very important later on. So they couldn't have left some stuff out. So I think it was a really good balance to begin with. I enjoy the differences between the books and the movie, too. Mm. Yeah.
I think the differences are pretty minute. I mean, in terms of, people complain a lot about what was changed to match the film, but I think they're almost like alternate timelines, I feel like, where the movies work well because they're, well, that was scary, they're sort of truncated versions of the books. But, I mean, things were cut, like everybody always talks about Peeves.
Yeah.
One of the infamous ghosts who's chopped from all the film.
He really gets under my skin.
Worse than Malfoy. God.
Not worse than Voldemort, though.
No. Well, he's a good villain. I think he's love to hate kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, shall we get into notes then?
Yes.
I've got a lot of notes here.
All right, go ahead.
Well, we talked about the special effects aged really well. The casting. We talked about Snape.
Casting, we haven't really talked about. Mm. Casting is fantastic.
I don't think there's another series that's that well cast.
Like, they took it really seriously. Mm. Really seriously.
Mm. We'll talk about the rest of the movies later, but this did not stop with this movie. Like, every single movie is cast almost just 99.9% perfectly.
Yeah. Like, the main three characters, they have a perfect chemistry, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Azkaban's strange casting later, but the three kids, I mean, people like to get on Daniel Radcliffe's case, but I think he's pretty great, especially in this. I think he's doing a really good job now, too, with branching out into all this crazy stuff.
Yeah. I think he was a perfect Harry.
Yeah. And he's going to look less exciting next to Hermione and Ron, Rupert Grint and Emma Watson, because they're such characters. Next to them, he's a little flatter.
Well, but Harry is supposed to be more like a, I don't know, like, not too brilliant, right. You know what I mean?
He's very middle of the road.
Yeah, not like super hot or not super clever or super goofy or... Like, more like somebody you can relate to, I guess.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Let's see what other stuff we had here. Of course, like Hagrid and, all the casting.
Maggie Smith.
Robbie Coltrane, Maggie Smith, Richard Harris. They're just all
really Richard good. Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad.
Right? Great Dumbledore.
Yeah.
And he almost...
Love, Harry.
It's funny because the way he plays it, it doesn't fit the book's ending or the we'll get to how Dumbledore, what Dumbledore's plan was all along, but I think the later Dumbledore has more of that tone, like a little more cold.
I actually, like, enjoy both.
Right, they're versions. Very different, though.
Yes, very different, but very perfect in different ways,
yeah.
I think. Both brilliant.
Right. As far as the directing goes, like, the tone is really good. It's colorful, it's bright, it's very Gryffindor-y colored. Everything's, like, red and gold and green. Yeah.
But not in a flashy way.
No.
It's very subtle.
It's very subtle.
And it's more, like, believable. This place exists somewhere in Britain.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's very British, yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Columbus and I don't know who the screenwriter was, I'm sorry, but they managed to get a lot across in a short time. Oh, you have the writing credits there. Steve Kloh's screenplay. There you go. They established so much, and the parts that they cut they kind of make sense. But as far as Christopher Columbus goes, like, I think he's a great director.
I think so, too.
The way he... the camera sits on characters instead of zooming around all the time, which happens in some of the later movies. But he has a lot of these shots with a very, very slow zoom, which is so reminiscent of, like, 80s directing. And even the action scenes where the CG characters come in, like, the camera doesn't move a lot. The character moves. But the camera doesn't do any extra movement that it doesn't need to, which is so nice. Like, it's such a... subtle, slow, not slow, but like,
no, but like
carefully directed movie. Yeah,
and you don't feel like, I don't know, like you can kind of relax and watch. Like, it's not too pushy, I guess. Like, you can watch it at ease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like a Jurassic World or a Star Wars is like almost psychotic in its directing. Or like the new Star Treks. I love that first new Star Trek, but it's... If it would give anyone over the age of 60 a seizure. That's rude. I shouldn't say that, but I'm saying...
Pull my parents.
I'm saying that it's...
Don't say that.
It's so flashy that only I think the youngest generation is appreciative of that kind of stuff.
Let's say some people will really like it, others will really hate it.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I take it back. The pacing is really good, too. It takes its time quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Showing off the castle. Again, there's not a lot of zooming camera. It's like a very slow approach to the castle.
I think it would have been very easy for it to, I don't know, really like be in like haste. But
because it's the origin, it has to do so much.
Yeah, but I think it was really well paced considering how much information they had to put in the movie. Yeah, they did a really good job, I think.
Yeah, it never feels like it's rushing itself. Like, by the time they're in school and Harry's figuring out everything out, like, it's sort of taking its time.
Yeah. Just imagine how that movie... Like, what if that movie failed? Then nothing else would have come out.
You gotta wonder, like, when the first book came out, they didn't really know they had, like, a phenomenon, I think, right away. But, like, when they must have had an idea that they had, like, a huge hit, right? I don't remember the tone when the first movie... I wasn't into those movies, I think, until maybe 3. I don't think...
Maybe until the third one?
No, it's really hard for me to remember. Like, I don't remember seeing Chamber in the theaters. I remember seeing Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone in the theater because someone said, you've got to see this.
Yeah?
And I don't remember.
Oh, so you didn't even know the book existed?
I don't think I read it till after I saw it.
I read the books first.
Yeah, I think
it was just about to come out, the movie, the first movie, and I was in the middle of studying for entrance exam of high school, and I started reading the book, and I was like, oh my god, this is the best, and I wish I could go to this school instead of the one I have to take a test for. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could remember, but yeah, anyway, as we said, like, the sets, the costume design, all the scenes are really well set. I like any movie that... I really don't like mystery shows that hide the clues from you. I mean, like a Twin Peaks or something is different because mm-hmm. that has a different element to it.
Mm-hmm.
But like an Agatha Christie where there's no way you can guess the outcome because all of the clues have been purposefully hidden from you.
Right.
In order to
until
make
the very last second or something.
In order to either to make the hero look really smart or to make everyone else look simple.
Yeah.
That like really irritates me.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie and pretty much all of them, you can see the signs of the twist really clearly once you know it.
Yes.
Like, but again, like, it's so subtle.
Yeah.
Quirrell never turning his back on Harry because that would mean Voldemort was facing him.
And that's why Harry...
He doesn't
Harry's
shake.
Harry's skull hurt.
In the cauldron, right?
No. No, when he first saw Snape.
Oh, right.
Because Quirrell's
was
head
sitting
was...
right next to him. Yeah. Oh, he was turned around,
yeah.
right? Yeah, so Voldemort
yeah.
was looking
so
at him.
So it wasn't Snape, but it was Voldemort.
Right.
Yeah.
Or when he thinks he's being cursed, but Quirrell's right behind him. And there's a split second when... They think they've stopped Snape's curse, but it's actually Quirrell cursing him when he's playing Quidditch. There's a split second where you see Quirrell's reaction and he looks angry. And you're kind of like, it doesn't register. Because you think, oh, he's been bumped by Snape, so he's angry. But, like, it's because he was just cursing Harry. Like, that's such a... Mm. And, like, he doesn't shake Harry's hand because of obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But, like...
Well, didn't you get surprised by Dumbledore's... line at the very beginning, like when he was leaving Harry to the Dursleys, remember?
What did he say?
I forgot what exactly he said.
Well, we just paused and looked for the line but can't remember what it is, but there's some line in there that seems like it's really hinting at something in the future. Like he says, like, when the time is right or when the time comes they'll know more or something like that, which we'll get to that when we talk about those later movies. But I think it's hard to say, like, it's come out recently that Alan Rickman knew Snape's ultimate goal or his ultimate reasons, even though, like, the directors and the writers had no idea because Rowling told him specifically because that, like, it's well known that Snape is her favorite character. So in his performance is as deep as possible, and it's hard not to put all the meaning behind Deathly Hallows into Sorcerer's Stone and the rest of them, because they are individual movies and they're all done by different directors and writers. But I think it doesn't fail as an origin movie, and you can easily slot it into those and still it works. Even though ostensibly that movie has less to do with any of the other ones than it's like the most separated from Chamber, things that are happening there that matter in Deathly Hallows. And from then on, there's always a connection, but the first one is almost completely isolated.
Mm.
But it still works somehow.
Mm. Great introduction.
Mm. Ah, maybe, no, it is connected, because he's already speaking Parseltongue.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's something right there.
Right.
And that doesn't come until way later. Right? Doesn't he not? He doesn't even mention to them till Chamber, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he can speak to snakes. Like, it's not even a thing. He just does it randomly. Masterful. Clap, 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 clap.
Good one, J.K. Rowling.
Good one, J.K. You need our compliment because you're inconfident. You must be. So, good job.
Good job. Thank you for writing it.
Great job. Well, that's 1 minute left.
Okay. What else do you have on the list?
I covered it all.
No.
But I think...
Part two?
Huh?
Part two is coming?
Sometime. Are we doing it tonight?
I don't know.
Maybe
we will. But part two will be coming because we haven't talked about, I don't know.
Oh, I'm saying part two will be... No, I talked about
that. Oh, okay.
I think part two will be Chamber of Secrets, right?
Yes.
But sorry, it's a bit rambling. I think we'll get a little cleaner in the future. It's my fault.
Yeah.
Do you think this is good? Are we going to re-record this?
No, that's totally barbaric.
That's Wizard's Chess. Best line.
Well, on that note.
So if you enjoyed it, let us know. Or if you have any answers or comments or anything, you can let us know about that too. But whenever we're ready to do it, we'll do part two and we'll do Chamber of Secrets and we'll do one of these for all of them. Yeah. Anyway.
Bye.
See ya.